Welcome to ReChurch. I'm Marshall Fant, the Director of Church Consulting and Strategic Planning for Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. My purpose is to encourage pastors and church leaders as you refocus, renew, and revitalize your churches. We've established this podcast to offer practical tips and suggestions as you equip disciples to make disciples. Welcome back to ReChurch, podcast by GFA Missions. Appreciate y'all tuning in and listening, whether on your app or if you're watching on YouTube. Thanks for tuning in that as well. Also want to thank the GFA staff for all the wonderful job they do in producing this and putting it out. So thank you for them. We're going through a series of podcasts here for the next few on that was submitted by our board, and they challenged me to get my wife involved and to answer serious questions from pastors' wives. So we have five episodes dealing with that. So Gretchen, welcome to the podcast. You've been on before.
Yes, thanks.
All right, so I'm just simply going to interview her. And the very first one is something that I think many assume they know, but do they really define the role biblically? And that is, what is the role of a pastor's wife? So how involved should she be in the church? And why do some pastors' wives feel so lonely in ministry? So I've invited Gretchen to talk through this with us. So, Gretchen, let's just start with our own story. So when we entered the ministry, of course, background, we entered a little bit later. I was 40. At that time, we already had five children, replanted the church. So when we entered at that point, again, the role of the pastor's wife, we first entered, so what did you think being a pastor's wife? What did you think it looked like?
I really thought it's kind of embarrassing to think about this right now. But my first thought was that as a pastor's wife, my job was to keep all the women happy. And I think that lasted about 3 weeks. And then I thought, I need to rethink this. This is not working. And so that was what I initially thought.
Yeah. And we all have expectations, and where they come from, I'm really not sure. Okay. But now, so let's shift that. Okay. So let's think about a lot of people, different expectations. Let's think about, what is the pastor's role biblically? All right. So we know this, that there are certain expectations that people have when they call a pastor, they call his wife. Mm-hmm. But we also got to say, okay, what does the Bible have to say about it? So if you would run with that and just talk about women's responsibilities and that type thing.
I think this is what makes it difficult, is that the Bible doesn't say anything about it.
That's right.
And so I think that the conclusion I've come to is that really, as a pastor's wife, my responsibilities are really no different than any other woman in the church. And really, even going into the pastor, it didn't really change anything that I can think of that I did, because I was serving before, doing Bible studies and things like that, and I continued that. But I do think the role, just in people's minds, and just even having that, maybe I should say the position, does put you in a spot where I think you told me this one time. You say everything you do, everything you say has an exclamation point after it.
Yep.
So, and that's just something to accept. And that's a cultural thing that people expect more. They see you differently. And I didn't really think about that part of it before we got into ministry, that I realized that people did think about me differently, even though we went it was from one day we were church members, and then the next day you were pastor. So we were no different.
Yeah,
but they think about you different.
So I think the false expectation is they think of you as automatically being on staff. And even I've heard it said, well, you know, we call him, but we're getting two for one. So the people's idea of the pastor's wife being automatically staff or automatically something that really the Bible does not define. I think you said it well. So all women have the same responsibility, be Titus 2 character. supporting their husbands if they're married, and that's what you're doing as a as being married to me, just that the role would be a pastor. But the same expectations are really for all Christian mm-hmm. women mm-hmm. within the church.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah. Women are supposed to help other women. They're supposed to teach the children, and they're supposed to keep their homes. And none of this changes when you go into ministry.
All right. So would it be fair to put it this way? Would it be fair to say that the pastor's wife's primary calling is not a ministry position, but is faithfulness to her role as a wife and a believer? Is that a fair summary or not?
Yeah.
You would agree with that?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
All right. All right. So let's shift on to the next thing. So, all right. So let's talk about there's a tension between, you know, God's calling and people's expectations, mm-hmm. again, within the church. So the position of the pastor's wife does carry some responsibility to be an example, right? But on the other side of it, you know, so, you know, it's just a believer. So how do you sort that out between the calling of what God's given you as far as a wife, a mother, a church member, a believer in Christ, versus expectations people may have?
I think back of when I was a little girl. I remember I was in elementary school, and I remember waiting at the line for the mothers to pick up the children. And some of the mothers would drive up, and they'd have their hair in curlers, and they would just look awful, you know. And I would be so embarrassed for those children. I would think, oh, I'm so glad my mom, you know, because my mom was, she was special to me, and I wanted everybody else to think she was special. And I think it's kind of similar, a little bit similar. I don't want to ever do anything or say anything or look any way that if I meet somebody out in public, that they're embarrassed to say, oh, this is my pastor's wife.
There you go. Okay.
And so I think it's a very, very similar kind of feeling. I think you have to wrestle with that. You don't want fear of man where you're trying to be, you know, people talk about, I want to have a good testimony, therefore I have to appear like I'm perfect. I'm not talking about that. Right. I just don't want to be embarrassing. Or there were many times, and this was especially when we first started, that I would do something or I would say something most of the time. And I would think, and I would stop and I would think, now, if my pastor's wife did that, would I be embarrassed? You know, and I'd have to think that through and say, you know what, you probably ought to not call that guy an idiot or whatever it was I just did. So it goes back to pleasing God, but also there's another element in there that you do represent a certain position, a certain church, a certain people. You don't want to, you want to be mindful of that to a
degree.
All right,
so we know your calling's rooted in scripture. You know, it's shaped by the gifting, how God has gifted you. You're guided before your conscience, before God. But these expectations, they're shifting, they're changing. It depends on the context. And so let me ask you this. So what was a moment when you realized you could not meet everyone's expectations? Is there a moment? I think I remember something in the nursery.
Yes.
Don't remember years ago.
Yes. I think it was the same moment that I realized I couldn't keep all the women happy.
Okay.
So I remember, and we had only been doing this for about 3 weeks, maybe. You'd been coming up. We were filling in. We were actually at that point, I think we were more interim.
Yeah.
And this is all new. And we were in a rented facility. We had a little nursery. And one of the ladies came up to me and she said, well, I just am really offended because I saw you in the nursery and I said hello to you and you just turned your nose up and you went the other way. and she went on and on about that. And I said, you were in the nursery? She said, yes, I was. And you know, I was, and you turned your nose up and you just walked the other way. And I told her I didn't ask forgiveness because there was no sin there, but I just said, I'm so sorry that you perceived that. I really don't remember you being in the nursery. And if I'd seen you, et cetera. But at that point, I thought nobody had ever said anything like that to me before.
Before you were pastor.
Before, right? Yes. Yeah, before, this was 3 weeks in. And I was like 40 years old. So, I mean, I'd lived a little while and no one had ever said anything like that. No one had kind of treated me that way. I wasn't mad or anything. I just thought, wow, this is different.
This is different.
Yeah. That judging it, my motives like that. And then, you know, it was just different.
Okay. So expectations versus callings. Okay. So yeah. let's take this a step further on expectations. So could you tell me, so how did you learn to say no to people in a gracious way? When they have an expectation what the pastor's wife should or should not be doing, how did you learn to say no to some of those expectations?
Yeah, that was a hard thing. When we first started, I began homeschooling all four children and had a two-year-old. And I was so busy. I remember feeling like, I don't know if you've ever tried to read a page of writing or whatever, typing, whatever, with no margins. That's how I felt. I felt like I had zero margin in my page to do anything other than to plan and to help with the church. And I mean, and I, there was a woman who would call me and ask me to keep her children. And I think if I remember right, I think I might
this
have
was
done
someone
it
within
once.
The church.
And I, yeah. And I and thought, the church I, was, I really can't do that. This is not my calling, you know, yeah. right now, maybe I, at some point. And so I guess the thing is you can't be driven by the fear of people leaving or people not liking you or whatever it is. And I just thought, you know, if she gets mad at me, she gets mad at me. And I just told her, I said, I will always help you in a crisis, but if you can just think of me as your last resort. And then I was very vulnerable with it. I said, honestly, I feel so pressured right now that I don't know, you know, and I explained to her how I felt. So I think usually if you have a certain amount of vulnerability, I guess it is, or transparency to really tell people how you're feeling and how things are difficult and that, you know, and just try to love them. And she didn't leave, you know, at that point. So that was good, but.
And at that point, we were new at this. The church was very, very small. So you have these fears, right? And I mean, it was a pastor you face them. Okay, if I don't do this for them, then they may leave the church. But there's got to be, for pastor's wife, there's got to be a gracious way to say no, because again, we're talking about expectations versus calling. And again, you want to serve people just like any other believer, but at the same time, just because you're the pastor's wife doesn't mean you have to babysit somebody else's kids while you're trying to do everything else.
Right. It'd be nice if you can. It'd be nice if you can.
Sure.
And it's, but it's not what I knew I couldn't do it at that point. Yeah. So.
All right, good. Expectations versus calling. All right, so let's go to the next question. So, and the role of a pastor's wife. So how involved should a pastor's wife be in the church? Now, I know this will vary by the size of the church. It's going to vary by the situation, the other women in the church, their gifting, but just as a general rule, let's just say, so how involved, you know, there's going to be pressure. Okay. But how involved, what would you say to that? How involved should a pastor's wife be in the church?
I think, a pastor's wife, just like every other woman, should exercise her gifts in different areas. I think, particularly in smaller churches, it seems that people seem to think, oh, particularly if they don't have a pastor, okay, when we get a pastor, then the pastor's wife can do a Bible study for us and she can play the piano and she can do this or whatever it is. And sometimes that's not her gift. And that is absolutely fine. I think the mistake that I made, I think, as I look back when we were ready to transition from our church, I did too much. And when you do too much, or you, when you take on the role of almost like assistant pastor, or even head of women's ministries, when you don't, that's not your role. And you do a lot, people will back off and they will not exercise their gifts. So I felt like, I know you have to, well, first of all, you have to do that at the beginning when you're church planning. You just do everything. You clean the bathrooms and you do the Bible studies. You do it. And it is hard after that to back off. And then when you do, people think you're not, they've gotten it in their minds that this is your job. So depending on the size of the church, I would be I would go ahead and meet needs just like you always would.
Right.
But then try to push ministry out to look for others that are able to do it and push. I wish I had pushed more ministry out.
All right. So I think this is the way I would summarize what you just said and see if you agree with me. So involvement or lack of it should be intentional and not assumed. In other words, everything you said, okay, this is what I can do. This is what I can't do. And again, and in some churches, like I said, in a small church, the pastor's wife may have to lead the role in women's ministries.
Right, right.
But I also heard you say the minute you can give that away, give it away. But if you're not gifted in that area, for instance, you know, let's just take music. Many pastors' wives, it's assumed that they will, you know, they will lead all that. But it doesn't mean that they have to. So the involvement, so how involved or lack of it should it be? And I think the key thing is a pastor's wife should serve because she's gifted in an area versus expected to do it. Is that a fair way to put it?
Right. And if you're just trying to meet people's expectation, that is going to backfire. And I do think that it's good, and it's like you said, to do a ministry. If you're going to start a ministry, there are several things that I did when we first started because there was no one else. But immediately, as someone came that was able to do it, I would pass it off. So that would be so that people don't assume. She'll do that. The pastor's wife will do that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that, especially in a smaller church growing, the pastor's wife always kept the nursery. Okay,
right.
But the minute other people can, you need to be out. I remember you and I were with a church planter, and his wife had not been in the service like in 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Because she's always in the nursery. But there were women in the church who were willing to help. But that's what she chose. I think at that point, she's got to give away, right, and don't continue to hold on to certain ministries. You want to comment on that? Am I being too broad on that?
No, I think that's right. And honestly, I think sometimes there have been times when I thought, you know, I know there are people that can do this. So I'm backing off and saying, I can't do this anymore, that we need to have someone else do it. And then if nobody does, then we won't have that ministry. We will just say, well, not, of course you can't do that with nursery. You'd have to figure out a way to do it.
Right, right. Yeah.
But, you know, there's a time when if no one else is willing to do it, you may just need to, need to give it up. Every ministry has its life cycle, and maybe it's over. Maybe it's not something the church needs to be doing.
All right, so let me ask you this question, going off script a minute. So think of the pastor's wife, and there are, and again, I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, so if we visit a church, don't think I'm talking about you. Okay, but there's some pastor's wives who think they are above, or because of the pastor, they don't need to they don't need to be in the cleaning crew, or they don't need to be that. So would it be fair to say that the pastor's wife just needs to do everything that the average woman in the church should be doing?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, you want to add to that? You got any other comments on that?
No, I think that just says it well, that you're not above anything. You're not different, really, than anyone else. And if there's someone that, or there are certain things like cleaning and stuff, you don't have to be gifted.
Right, but it's never above you. If all the other women do it. Or a food train, or in other words, meals for people, or whatever. If all the women are doing it, and then you should be doing it as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, because that's an expectation, not so much of the pastor's wife, but of just the women in the church.
Women in the church, yeah. Because I think, and this has to do with the position, you do find that you are an example to the women. Yeah. You become an example. So if you're too good to, you know, show up for work day and rake or whatever, then they will see an excuse to be able to do the same thing.
Sure. Good point. Okay. All right. Let me address this with you, because we also hear this. So one of the themes that we can hear from some people is that pastors' wives struggle with loneliness, okay? Because maybe the role is unbiblical, or there's certain expectations, but they feel lonely. They say the difficulty to keep from friendships. They feel like they're being watched. They don't need to guard confidentiality. All these things that they become isolated, and the role of the pastor's wife, they become really just almost an island to themselves, and they feel lonely. So I know you've had a view on this, and you've helped wise with this. So tell me again your view of forming friendships in the church, your recommendation, how you did it, what you have found is a healthy relationship within the church as far as the role of the pastor's wife.
I think it's the same. We're talking really the same thing, just yeah. different aspects of the same thing. That there are some people who would say the pastor's wife should not have a friend. Mm. Honestly, I think that is wrong. I don't think there's anybody in this world that should not have a friend.
Yeah.
But the question is, what do you consider a friend? Mm. And there are some people that feel like they can only have one friend, and that's a bosom buddy. And if anybody else has that friend, then they get jealous. And that's a wrong idea of friendship, in my opinion. I don't think that's even a scriptural thing at all. That's a very selfish way of looking at friendship. I think friendship to me is not something you go after. I think God tells us that we have to love people. We love everyone, love God, love people. Two main things. If you love God and you love people, and you really do love people, you will have friends. And those friends will be a byproduct. They aren't a goal. Like, we want to avoid being like the junior higher who comes to school and thinks, oh, please like me, please be my friend. And those are, repelled by it.
Yeah.
But the person who just is concentrated on loving other people will find one day, wow, I have a lot of friends.
Right.
And so to me, that is the view of friendship. Now, I do think because of the position in your friendships, you have to be very wise. And you might not talk about the same things that everybody else can talk about.
Sure.
Everybody else can talk about the church or whatever. There may be certain things that you need to be really careful about, but that has to do with your position. And again, not revealing things that shouldn't be revealed and that sort of thing, or not saying things about what you should never say things about your husband anyway, but being extra careful to not be a bad example, if that makes sense. So again, we're differentiating. It goes back to the fact that the position that you hold has a certain weight to it.
It does. But at the same time, all right, so your advice, again, let's put this in a capsule. So your advice to that pastor's wife who is feeling this loneliness would be?
To find people who are also lonely and love on them.
Love them, yeah.
To love people, just to concentrate on meeting the needs of people and pray that God would give you a good friend, somebody that you really connect with. Yeah. That's a gift from God. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's something we go on a mission to find. And I could be wrong on that, but I think that's a pretty good policy. No, I mean, yeah. I don't see any holes in it as far as scripturally. You can't go wrong loving people.
Yeah, I love the way you said it. The friendship is really a byproduct of loving others.
Exactly.
And I think that's the bottom line. We need to be loving others, and friendship will develop of that. And often we've found friendship as we're serving the church, serving the Lord by serving in the church, serving with other people, that's where the friendship develops. We didn't seek it out to begin with, but it was a byproduct of that, right?
Right.
Is that fair?
And I do think that if there will always be someone that you really connect with more than other people. So if you really connect with someone, I think you can be friends with them. But I think, it's always probably wise to say, hey, let's not post this on Facebook. Or let's not, to do that. And it has to be somebody that understands that. And that's the kind of thing you would do, because you don't want to be a stumbling block. And the women who might feel jealous or whatever, if that even happens, that really is their problem. But I don't want to instigate anything like that. So I might say, hey, let's go out to eat. But and then if they take a picture, say, hey, can we not post that on Facebook? I don't want to, cause any trouble. And if they don't understand it, then that's not really probably the friend for you. They need to understand those things.
All right. So let's just, as we start to land this podcast, let's think of a couple other things. So let's talk about, you know, one of the most freeing truths is not that a pastor's wife is not called to do everything. They're not. Okay. We understand that. But to serve according to their gifting. And what I mean by that, I've heard you use the comment some, you know, that the pastor, I mean, the church may expect the pastor's wife to teach a Bible study, but teaching is not her gifting. So what would you tell a young pastor's wife right now? And she's feeling overwhelmed because her role and expectations, you know, and she's not allowed to serve where she's gifted. She's being forced to serve where she's not gifted. Okay, now, all right, let me back this up, frame it. There are certain times we have to do things we're not gifted to do. I understand that. But I'm talking about now, as the norm, as the church has more people that can do different things, mm-hmm. you know, speak to a pastor's wife having the freedom to serve where she's gifted to serve.
Well, the husband, someone might have to have a talk with a husband, or maybe she needs to have a talk with a husband. Sometimes the husband will push her because of his expectations. You know, I remember hearing a pastor one time saying, well, I keep asking my wife, when are you going to be ready to be teaching a Bible study to these ladies? And she just kept putting off. It just, she didn't think that that's what God wanted her to do. So, and she wasn't gifted in that area. So I think she needs to decide. She probably needs some help with this. Maybe if there's with her husband, and maybe she'll need somebody else too. I don't know. But to sit down and say, what is it that God has really called me to do? And what is it that I don't believe God has called me to do right now? And just talk it through. And the things that God doesn't give you grace. God always gives grace to do what he's called you to do. But right. He doesn't give you grace to do something that he has not called you to do, or that I think it's more than gifts, you know, because like you said, oh, I did lots of stuff that I'm not gifted in when we first started. I mean, sure. I ran, you know, children's choir, and I'd never done that. And I did, all sorts of stuff. But that's what God had called me to. And we knew that that's what we had to do right then. But sometimes when we try to do things that we're not called to do, we just don't have the grace to get them done. So you need to figure that out and to figure it out with your husband. And if he doesn't get it, I would get someone else that you respect, hopefully in leadership of the church, or maybe just a good friend to sit down with you and figure that out.
All right. So let's shift into this. So if you're talking to pastors, okay, the pastors that are still listening to this podcast, I know the pastor's wives listed, but the pastor is still listening. What would you want pastors to understand about wives in ministry? You mentioned not to put pressure on them to serve where they're really not gifted, but also just what would your general counsel to be to a pastor on the role of his wife in ministry?
That her primary role is to help him. Okay. And I would also, one thing I appreciate that you were always helping me to develop my gifts, that he needs to help her develop her gifts and not put undue pressure on her, because she has the home. If he puts undue pressure on her, then something is going to give. And it's probably going to be the children, the home, the meals, all that she needs to do to help him. It's self-defeating.
Yeah. All right. So I know I got the advice from somebody, and then I'd like you to comment on this. You know, there's certain burdens as a pastor you don't need to put on your wife. Mm-hmm. Whether there's certain things going on, she's not part of the problem, she's not part of the solution. But some pastors just like to load up the dump truck, back it up, and dump it on their wives when they really can do nothing about it. All right, so you want to comment to pastors having discretion about what yes. they share with their wife? Would you comment on that, please?
Yeah, I appreciate not knowing everything about the conflict and the things going on in the church. There are times when we would have to discuss things, go back and forth. But there were also times when I know there were things going on and you would just tell me, you just don't need to know. Because I don't want to know things that every time I look at that person, that's what I think of. So I think it's a delicate balance between being able to talk things through and be your helper, and then not telling me or not telling the wife things that are just not really, that are really not going to help her in the long run. I hope that makes sense.
Sure it does. All right. So I think the key distinction here is we must make sure that God's calling for the pastor's wife is not meeting all the people's expectations in the church.
Correct.
Okay. They're not. So a pastor, we're not to treat our wife as staff. I mean, some of them may be on staff. I don't know. But I'm talking about, but she's not that. She is your helper. She is your wife. She's the mother of your children. And even at the empty nest, there's still, there's certain roles the pastor's wife needs to understand what she's been called by God to do and been gifted by God to do versus the expectations of the church.
Right, and also the expectations of her husband.
Oh, good point.
Sometimes that can be it, that the husband says, well, we got to have this. You got to do this. And maybe you don't have to have it. Maybe the church needs to hear, hey, we don't have anybody to run this, so we're not going to be able to do it this year. Maybe that's right. What they need to hear for someone else to rise up.
So the wife should not be the default person to do what's not
exactly.
Being done.
Okay. Exactly.
I thought that's what you were saying. Because we do know, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, the role of the pastor's wife is not given there.
That's
but
right.
We know the character of all women is in Titus 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So we do know that. And we know that Romans 12, gifts do differ, and all of us are equipped differently. Galatians 1, we're not seeking the approval of man,
mm-hmm.
So we should not cave. But then again, I think you said it well, that your position does carry more weight in what you say,
mm-hmm.
And you had to be careful about that. But at the same time, the people, I think, didn't you say sometimes people will come to you and tell you something and they assumed you would tell me? I mean, you want to tell that and maybe we can wrap this up. Yeah.
They would come and they would say, they would tell me something. I can't even think of an example, and I would say, oh, or they would say, oh, my father's in the hospital. So I say something like that. And I'm saying, oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Okay. I'll pray for him. And then later they'd talk to you and they say, oh yeah, because my father is in the hospital. And you'd say, oh, is he? And then they say, didn't she tell you? They figure that all we did at home was sit down or write down everything that everybody told us and then communicate. And sometimes we just didn't talk about those things.
No.
We didn't want to. It's just too much. It's a little overwhelming. So people need to understand that that's not my job. I'm not like the secretary. That if you tell me something, then I have to write it on a post-it note and give it to him, that sort of thing.
Again, and I think in that illustration is the time for the pastor to say, look, Gretchen and I talk, but she's not, if you need something for you, please let me know directly.
Yes.
So I think it's the time, the pastor, not covering, but just clearly defining that's not her role.
Yeah.
So I think we must step up and say, look, if you need me, call me. And make it very clear so they understand. Yes, we do talk as husband and wife, but, mm-hmm. That is not always about church business or whatever. So I think that's clear.
Yeah, another thing along those lines, I remember you telling me this. This comes under the subject of what I said carrying weight.
Yeah.
Is that someone might come up to me and say, hey, we were thinking we might do such and such. In the church. And I would say, that sounds like a great idea. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could see that. Yeah. That'd be good. And they go, okay. And then they'd walk away and they'd go to you or someone else and say, hey, Gretchen says we need to do this.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. That
And then you'd come to me and said, why did you tell those people this is what they need to do? And I said, I didn't tell them that. And so you said, don't say anything. So I would say, okay. So I got this, you get into where you start to understand these things. So I would say, when someone would come to me and say, hey, what the women ought to do, this is what we ought to do. I would say, wow, that sounds great. Maybe you should go to the leadership and ask them if they think that would be a good thing.
Yeah.
That would be what I would continue to say. I mean, it was the same thing I was saying before, not the same, but you know, it was, sure. I had the same reaction, yeah. but I just had to learn how to talk and how to say things so that yeah. they wouldn't misunderstand.
All right. So in conclusion of this, all right. So we know the scripture speaks to the pastor's qualifications. It does not speak of the role of the pastor's wife. Mm-hmm. All women, all believers are expected to serve in the church in some way. But we mm-hmm. also understand that your position does carry weight in some things, right? So it carries influence, probably a better word. So mm-hmm. just because you are the pastor's wife, it carries influence. But at the same time, pastors, we don't need to put pressure on our wives to go and do something outside their gifting. We need to support them as our wife and the mother of our children, if you have children still in the home. Or you, all right, so in closing, okay, that's kind of a summary. But Gretchen, I want to give you the last word. So in closing, how'd you like to land this podcast?
Well, I agree with everything you said. I do think you need to add that we do as pastors' wives and pastors too, we do a lot of things that are not our, what people say, gifting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And you already yeah. mentioned this. So I think I would not want anyone to go away thinking, oh, well, that's not my gift, so I don't have to do that. I think we need to say, does God want me to do this right now? That is right. a very
what was that
subjective
last
thing.
God want me to do this what? Right now.
Right now. Yes. Okay. Is this what God wants me to do? What is it going to take away from? Mm. Do I have the bandwidth right now? Mm-hmm. I think we need to pray that these are wisdom issues. I think that, like I said, we did a lot of things outside of our gift set, but I just think it doesn't help to have a pressure to kind of mop up for the wife to mop up and do everything that needs to be done that the pastor can't do, if you know what I mean.
No, that's well said. So, yeah. you know, again, there's no job description for the pastor's wife. Let's make that abundantly clear. It's not two for one. No. You're getting a pastor and his wife will be serving the church like everybody else. You know, you should have your freedom in Christ to serve like everybody else. Uh-huh. If loneliness comes up, I'm just kind of summarizing. I love what you said. If a pastor's wife feels lonely, then she needs to be loving people in the church and friend, you know, being a friend, friendship will come out of that loving others. But I think we just need to, I'll close with this. I think men, we need to communicate with our wives to make sure we understand the pressures they're feeling and either say, yeah, that's real and I can help, or no, that's just where we are and what can I take off your plate to allow you to do that or something like that. But communication, you got to sit down and talk about it. Okay, anything else, Gretchen? Appreciate
no, that,
you being
that's
on.
It. I think we've covered it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the role of the pastor's wife. I pray this is a help to you. Again, if you got other questions, this will be a 5-part series of podcasts with Gretchen. So if you got other questions, mfant@gfamissions.org, you can text me and be happy to address it. Gretchen, thanks for your time.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Again, thanks to GFA. Right. Thanks to all those who helped put this out and edit it. And thanks to our board who recommended this series.
You're listening to ReChurch, a podcast of Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. If you would like more information about our ministry or how we may assist you and your church, visit us at gfamissions.org/consulting.